Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew. On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, another blistering day. What an afternoon it was right here in Jacksonville. Right now, though, we go into the night. I am your host, Rick Ballew. A lot to do right here on a Wednesday midweek. That's really past the mid-month period, right? Five solid weeks in the month of May. Here it is, the 22nd, an off day for us in the media when it comes to covering the third phase of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That'll all change tomorrow and Friday as well. And I, for one, very excited about getting out of the rack really early tomorrow. I mean, I'm talking 9:15 for the truth teller. I mean, like record-setting. Granted, I get up four or five times in the middle of the night to use the restroom. That's what happens when you turn 40-something. Now that you hit 50-something, that's just kind of part of it. As I've often said, I have the ability to control my dreams. There's often times when, you know, I'm just kind of laying on a beach somewhere. I got a blonde on one arm, got a brunette in the other, and I'll have to wake up because nature calls. I'll go do my thing, get right back to bed, and I'll fall right back into that same dream. If you have the ability to do that, you and I, we have that in common. But I don't typically get up until way after the fact. 9:15 tomorrow morning, and that gives me a solid hour to get to the stadium to listen to John DeFilippo tomorrow. Very excited about this opportunity. Try to figure out exactly what is going on with this offense. I saw it with my eyes yesterday. Again, we're really not allowed to say anything yet, until it's put on the record. Hopefully Flip will give us some good material tomorrow, therefore the translation during Thursday night's program, be able to really get into it a little bit deeper as far as what the Jaguars are doing with Nick Foles, some new guys they brought in along the offense, and just the overall philosophy that DeFilippo has. And, you know, so much has been written and talked about the relationship between Flip in Foles. And it was a developmental situation with Foles, who at that particular time had been with three teams in a four-year period. You know, you look at the Jaguars now, he becomes the this becomes his fourth team in 5 years. A lot of people forget that he spent a year in Kansas City, 2016. Remember, Flip was the quarterback's coach in 16 and 17, where obviously the talk was about going out and developing Carson Wentz. All right? The injury happened. We know Nick Foles took over late in the season, led Philadelphia to a Super Bowl. I think people believe that they spent 2 years together. That is not the case. Nick Foles was in Philly in 17 and 18. Flip was in Philly in 16 and 17. Flip left. We saw him a year ago working with the Minnesota Vikings when the Jaguars had an opportunity to go out there and practice in Minnesota for 3 days before a preseason game in August. If you remember that situation, that is when Jalen Ramsey and Dante Fowler were suspended in that particular week. But Flip was fired 13 games into the season. Differences overall in the philosophy with Dan Zimmer. Dan Zimmer elected to go in a different direction. Some people thought that Flip was doing things perhaps a little bit differently there in Minnesota, particularly not running the football enough. The naked eye tells me that there are changes coming. Able to spot that yesterday during just one workout. What will we see tomorrow and Friday? I'm as excited as you are to take a look at that. And the challenge for him is immense. I mean, the Jaguars were 31st in scoring in the National Football League in 2018. They averaged 15.3 points a game. That is embarrassing. I don't care which way you break that down. I mean, you're averaging just over two touchdowns per game when your sample size is 16 contests. Year prior to that, they went to the AFC Championship game. They were sixth in the NFL in scoring. They averaged 26.1 points a game. How do you lose 10.8 points per off your offense? Think about that for a moment. The Jaguars lost more than a touchdown and a field goal per game offensively from 2017 to 2018. Nearly 11 points. And it's still amazing to me that they were 5-11, but they had an opportunity really last year, and I say this often, and I understand that that's the way that the league is. I mean, you lose a 9-6 game here to Tennessee, that very easily could have been a W. You lost a 29-26 game at Indy. You lost a 24-21 game at Buffalo, which, oh, by the way, speaking of offensive coordinators, that was it for Coach Hackett there, the Leonard Fournette punch a guy in the face type of deal. They can't score. They're on the goal line. Just a disaster. But they lost that by a field goal. They lost against the Redskins 16-13. They lost four games by a field goal. They lost a fifth game by 4 points, 20-16 against Pittsburgh, and they blew a huge lead there. And they lost a sixth game as well against the aforementioned Philadelphia Eagles, 24-18. They lost six games by 6 points or less. They lost four games by a field goal. That 5-11 very easily could have been 11-5. As simple as that. Can John DeFilippo, no pun intended, flip this offense to the tune of 10.8 points a game the way it was in 2017? If so, Jacksonville is going to win football games. I made a comment last night. I had some people light me up via the social media. I believe Jacksonville is going to be an underdog in five of their first six games. I'm not saying that that means they're going to go 1-5. I mean, this just in, underdogs do win. But I think they're going to be a dog in five of their first six matchups during the 2019 season. Enormous amount of energy that I noticed yesterday with this offense. I think that there really has been, and there's pressure on the gig to begin with. But I think everyone knows that you better win or changes are coming. And that was one of the things that we talked an awful lot about during the offseason. Can you really get a great offensive coordinator? Can you really go out and make a run at someone? You know, Gary Kubiak was mentioned. Heck, Cliff Kingsbury was mentioned. Others were mentioned. You got a lot of, well, who wants to go to Jacksonville? I mean, if they start 1-4, 1-5, Doug Marone's on the hot seat. Tom Coughlin could come down. They could be, Chuck Conn could blow up that thing in a year. You really want to go and take a job in that city if you're on a show-me scenario, which could end up being just 1 year in. That's kind of the league again, but, I mean, I don't have to tell you, what do coaches change per year in the NFL? Six, seven, about every year. Changes that happen in the National Football League at the head coach position. When you get to the coordinators and position coaches, obviously there's more jobs there, but they grow at a much higher pace in ratio as well. So we'll do that tomorrow. John DeFilippo is going to meet the media. That'll be at 10:15. Nick Foles is going to talk to the Jaguars after the workout tomorrow at 12:45. The schedule for Friday is Doug Marone in the morning, then Terry Rubisky, the new running backs coach, and Leonard Fournette after the workout on Friday. So it should be a very exciting couple of days with all of the emphasis on what is going on right now with this football team offensively. We have that to get into tonight. All right. The next 2 hours were jam-packed. Roger Goodell, the latest from the NFL. The installment of the owners' meetings is, it's really a joke. I mean, such smart people who just can't make the simplest of decisions, including the new overtime rule, which they will not vote on, but then they tell us they may put it in for the playoffs only at the end of the 2019 season. So it would be in January and into the Super Bowl in February 2020. They're not going to vote on it. They're not going to put it in the play now, but they may have it available by the playoffs. You know what I'm talking about? That's both teams getting it bad. Both teams get the football. Kansas City did not. Remember, New Orleans in their loss to L.A., both teams got the ball. Okay? People forget that. People remember Kansas City, New England, where, you know, the Chiefs didn't get it. New England drove the field and scored. It's simple. Give both teams a shot. You can't have a coin toss determining the outcome of a playoff football game. You can't do that. There's billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. You can't flip a coin and have the AFC Championship game sit on that coin toss like we saw a year ago at Arrowhead when the Patriots went in there and won in overtime. Got to change it. They're not going to during the regular season. More coming out as far as, listen, they don't want any more unnecessary helmet contact. The days of the Oklahoma drills, gone. That was kind of big around Jack Del Rio in these parts. The bull in the ring, gone. I mean, imagine former high school football players listening right now. You grew up with this. This is what you did, especially in the month of August during true two-a-days. You probably had a hard-ass coach. You didn't want water on the field. Every high school team in America did the Oklahoma drill. Every high school team in America did the bull in the ring. The NFL now is saying, we don't want any more contact. We don't want any more concussions. That is being eliminated before they get to the collective bargaining agreement. They're coming in right now and just wiping it out. So a lot to do as far as the NFL today as well. A lot of college football, the transfer portal up and running in both Hogtown and God's country. So we give you the very latest involved with both the Gators and the Seminoles coming up. And what about the Dogs? I mean, they're smart. Kirby Smart, the athletic director as well, saying that they both support an 8-team college football playoff. It makes so much sense. Why don't we have it? So all of that upcoming over the next couple of hours. All right, let's get things started with more on the Jags. Plus, I want to play the DJ Chark interview I did yesterday. I played it last night at around 8:25, 8:30. We start an hour late on Tuesday nights because of Helmets and Heels. I want to get that out right now for the new audience who may have missed it a night ago. So when we return, you're going to hear from DJ Chark going into his second year as a wide receiver. He has a lot of interesting things to say as well about Nick Foles as they met on the practice field yesterday. That's coming up as we go into the night with Rick Ballew on 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, an off night for the playoffs. The St. Louis Blues took care of business last night. 49 years later, we get it again. Boston and St. Louis playing for Lord's Stanley Cup. Of course, the Bruins did it in 1970, four straight wins. It all ended with Bobby Orr and perhaps the most famous goal in the history of the National Hockey League. If you don't know the goal I'm talking about, feel free to knock on my door and I'll show it to you hanging up in my sports bar. You're probably going to have to do a shot, though, if you enter. That's the way it is there. LaVey, you've yet to make it over.
Oh, I haven't. I'm jealous. I've seen all the pictures of it. Actually, I haven't seen any of the new one. Have you done anything at your new place?
I'm really kind of lazy on the new one. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't have the heart to build it again. I don't know.
I mean, I've never seen anything so like meticulously constructed than that sports bar of yours. There's so much stuff in there.
It was phenomenal. I think over 500 pieces of old Boston memorabilia. You know, a little bit of the Knowles, a couple of Jag things up there, but it's going to be an interesting series. Boston's favored 165 to the dollar. St. Louis favored plus 135. Hockey is I mean, this isn't like the New York Giants winning a wild card and creating a pass rush on the New England Patriots and winning a Super Bowl. This isn't like the Red Sox winning a wild card, being down 3-0, winning 4 straight against the Yankees, and then continuing that by winning 4 straight against St. Louis. Typically in hockey, if you just look at past champions, the best team wins. St. Louis fired their coach at the end of 2018. St. Louis is playing with their fourth goaltender in Bennington, who's a 25-year-old rookie. Typically, teams like that don't skate around with the cup. Now, Boston wasn't the best team this year. Tampa Bay was. But Boston has been consistent all season long. They've had to deal with some injuries. They have the greatest goaltender in the world right now. And they're playing in their third Stanley Cup final in 9 years. That's a tournament-tested team. Boston should win the Stanley Cup. They're favored in every key statistic, both offensively and defensively. Dominant in scoring. Their special teams are far and away better than St. Louis. Okay? Boston has the number one power play in the National Hockey League playoffs. St. Louis has the 9th. Here's the problem, though. St. Louis doesn't... they don't commit any penalties. They don't spend any time in the penalty box. And typically, when you get to the finals, those refs are going to swallow the whistle. And they're going to let them go out and play the game. But I've never seen such an avalanche, statistically speaking, of how one team is favored over the other in really every single category. And you name a category. Okay? Power play goals, shorthanded, goals per game, goals allowed per game. It just doesn't matter. It's totally dominant here. We'll see what happens. Got a lot of downtime. Got today, got tomorrow, you got Saturday, you got Sunday. Game one, as we know, is coming up Memorial Evening. That'll be coming up on Monday night. As far as the NBA, games 5 tomorrow night, Toronto and Milwaukee. Of course, Golden State sits and waits. Saw Sam Jones today, the legendary Sam Jones, over at Southampton. He'll be 86 next month. He won 10 NBA championships in 12 years with the Boston Celtics. And asked him about the playoffs, and he just smiled and said, Golden State. And, you know, what a kind gentleman. What an outstanding human being. I think people in those parts see him quite a bit. I think he plays all the courses over there. I've seen him at Southampton a whole heck of a lot. I've had him on my radio show a few times. He's a very, very kind gentleman. How successful is that? Can you imagine playing 12 years in the NBA, the Hall of Famer? He won 10 NBA titles with the Boston Celtics. And I'll have to look up his resume again. I want to say he played in college at San Francisco. I want to say he played in the exact same college as Bill Russell. The two both went to San Francisco back in the 50s, if memory serves me correct. I know I've done some research on him previously, but it was great to see Sam Jones. All right, let's get to the Jags. That's what's most important. None of this hockey crap. Come on, Blue, what's wrong with you? How can you possibly waste 3 minutes of your 2-hour show by talking about hockey? No one cares about hockey, right? Let's get back to the Jags. Here we go. Tomorrow's going to be very interesting, all right, because I think tomorrow night and the shows before me, we're going to at least begin to be able to talk about what we've seen because it'll be thrown on the record. You need Flip to throw it on the record. You need Marone to throw it on the record. I did the best job I could yesterday of basically not telling you anything as far as the depth chart. I couldn't even tell you who the starting will was yesterday. I couldn't even tell you who the starting left tackle was yesterday, filling in for Cam Robinson, who wasn't there. Not allowed to do any of that yet. And I'm not ripping the process. I'm not complaining. I'm not. I'm thankful that I'm allowed to watch practice. I understand how this works, and I'm following the rules. I'm just trying to say that once it becomes public and on the record from the coach, then we can begin to dive into things a little bit. Hopefully tomorrow at 10:15, we're going to get a lot offensively from new coordinator John DeFilippo. After the workout tomorrow, Nick Foles, 12:45. That'll be interesting. Nick Foles yesterday, when I was expected to talk with DJ Chark at 12:45, that was pushed back about 10 minutes. Why? Nick Foles had the entire wide receiver core huddled up. They were talking. Everyone else had made their way in. The entire defense, the offensive line, the running backs, the tight ends, special teamers. The only one who was not was Yannick Ngakoue, who was talking to the media. I had a one-on-one with DJ Chark. He had a lot of interesting things to say about his second year in Jacksonville, including his new quarterback, Nick Foles. Let's take you to yesterday. Here's Ballou with DJ Chark.
All right, DJ, third phase underway today. Looked like it was a good workout for you guys.
We was able to take all the stuff we learned in the classroom and all the few minutes that we had on the field on phase two and put it together in a competitive setting.
You know, it looked like the relationship right out of the gate between you and Nick Foles was about as good as you could ask for. How has it gone in this very limited amount of time?
Great. You know, I'm still learning. He's helping me through a lot. Just with time and confidence, things like that, and being supportive. So I think it just translates to practice, and hopefully in a few months it can translate to Sundays.
How difficult is the transition to go from Blake, you know, Kessler late last year, and then all of a sudden you're going to a third quarterback in really 1 year period of a time? How difficult is that?
I mean, I played with a lot of quarterbacks in my time, so you learn that every quarterback is different, and you try to work with them with their strengths and weaknesses, and they work with you. But I think the good thing about Nick is he's vocal about it, and he just after practice, before practice, if he sees something that he think can help you or something that he want to try out on the field, he'll talk to you about it. He's not scared to do it, you know, so and I think that's a big thing with him.
How about him as a leader? I mean, he's won a Super Bowl, but he's brand new here to the organization. I noticed that after practice just a few minutes ago, the wide receiver core huddled up with him. So what's it like to, you know, learn from a quarterback who's been in the league for a number of years?
I think it's great. Like I said, he brings a lot of experience, but also he's a great communicator, like you mentioned. And he's always there to continue to help us, and he also asks for us to critique him on small things, and it's just a good relationship.
How was your offseason? You had the quad, you had a setback a year ago. How did you feel all offseason, and how do you feel right now?
I took some time off at the beginning of the offseason, but since I started back, I've been going nonstop. I feel healthy. I'm still, you know, working in this Jacksonville heat, trying to get conditioning. But I feel good so far. It's a good first step.
How alarming is that? Is it in the back of your head when you wonder about a soft tissue injury, or is it something you don't even think about while you're out there?
I don't think about it when I'm out there. I feel like injuries are something that you think about after they happen. You can, you know, do all the treatment and stuff to prevent, which I do. But when I'm on the field, I'm not thinking about it.
Tom Coughlin a few months ago said that he sees you in a role that could be like Alshon Jeffrey was in Philadelphia. I know you didn't get a lot of opportunities last year to really run deep routes, but how much do you see that being a part of what you can do this season?
I think it's going to be big. I think I still got technique that I need to work on until I'm never a caliber player that he was, but it's good to know that the front office and my coaches and my teammates had that confidence in me.
Final thought from you, DJ. Just overall, the ability for this year to expand on what you did a year ago. Do you have personal goals set out for yourself coming up in 2019?
Yes. I just want to be reliable and dominant on the field. Whatever else comes with that, comes with that. Whatever yards, accolades come with that. But I just want to be able to make my presence known for my team and for the opponent.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
All right, that was yesterday, DJ Chark, after the first OTA phase three underway. It continues tomorrow. Offensive coordinator John DeFilippo will talk at 10:15. Then after practice at 12:45, Nick Foles will meet the media. So we'll have a ton on the offense coming up during Thursday night's program. When I do return, let's talk a little bit about this football team right now. Offensively speaking, I also want to get into some of the stuff that came out of the league today, particularly from Roger Goodell. Have all of that to get into. If you'd like to join the conversation, a couple of ways that you can do it. We'll take some phone calls, 641-1010. That's 641-1010. Anything you heard from DJ Chark or any thoughts you may have on him, which I was kind of disappointed last night. The response I got was negative on him, almost as if you've accepted the fact that he is going to be a miss in Jacksonville. Totally disagree with that. I'll share some thoughts on it again on the other side, but if you'd like to give us your opinion on DJ Chark and what Nick Foles and John DeFilippo could mean to that, again, 641-1010. Also, Baloo on Twitter. That is BALLOU1010XL. All of that coming up as we roll into the night with Rick Baloo.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tonight's show brought to you by Key. That's Key Buick. That's Key GMC. May Military Appreciation Month. They get it over there at Key. We love the military, especially right here in Jacksonville. The lifetime powertrain warranty continues. I did it again today. I was pulling into work, barreling down south side, saw a couple of cars pulled over. Overheated, something's going on. You know, you bring it into the local guys, he's going to look at you and say, oh, it's going to run you. What's wrong? It's going to run you. It's a racket. You know, a lot of them are rackets. Kind of like going to the dentist. You know, it's all a racket. It truly is. You know, they pull you in there for a checkup, and, you know, they got you coming out of there with caps and crowns and Botox and you name it. Okay? Not a Key. Lifetime powertrain warranty. You buy a brand new Buick, you buy a brand new GMC, bam, they got you covered. Lifetime warranty. I bought my truck there, GMC Sierra 1500. I love it. Okay, fully loaded on steroids, just jacked up. Bought my daughter a car there. She loves it. It's the way it is. They're the people that I... Heck, my ex-wife hasn't listened to me in 20 years. She bought a vehicle there. That's how great it is at Key. All right? They're that good over there. So check them out. Now, you got some great Buicks right now. How does the 2019 Envision sound? $399 a month. Excuse me. Whoa! $339 a month. $60 of a save. Zero down, zero due at signing. All right, the 2019 Buick Encore, $289 a month. Zero down, zero at signing. I mean, you're not going to find deals like this anywhere else. You can at Key, right across the street from Tinseltown, corner of Southside and Gate. Tremendous people, too. Love the folks at Key. All right, social media is blowing up here. And about every third person is telling me that no one cares about hockey. LeVay, can we start the whole show over? I mean, the audacity of me of wasting 3 hours of my work week on the National Hockey League. I mean, how could I ever do that?
It's like the greatest travesty ever.
I mean,
it's the worst
really
thing you could have done.
I mean, I'm just, you know, I just feel so bad about this. The 1192 says, Rick, I absolutely agree with you. I think Chark has an opportunity this year, and I believe he will grab it. I also think the wide receivers will make a major improvement due to the change at the quarterback position. A positive vibe right here in Jacksonville. I like that. Here's another one. I think everything, though, is based on the improvement of the offensive line, and if that isn't fixed, we may actually be worse at the quarterback position due to the lack of mobility from Nick Foles. Well, okay. Tough to argue with you there as far as the mobility. I mean, Blake had plenty of mobility. And, you know, the year the Jaguars ranked first in the NFL in rushing, if you go back to 2017, I think people forget that Bortles rushed for more than 400 yards and picked up a lot of first downs with his feet. The 79-17 says, what's crazy is the Jags are in a position where if they don't improve this year, Khan will clean house, Marone, Caldwell, and Coughlin will get the boot. I don't agree with that. I totally disagree with that. I think that all three survive, okay? I think if there is an issue and a firing takes place, well, the only way that you're going to be able to shake up a team is to fire your coach. If you fire the general manager, what does that really, especially in season, what does that do to the locker room? It doesn't do anything. We just saw the Jets fire Maccagnan. It doesn't do anything. I mean, it was the Jets being the Jets. The timing on this was atrocious. And, you know, I understand that he had a lot of input and put a lot of effort in with his scouts around the NFL draft, and that, you know, to blow a guy up then, if you're going to blow up your GM, you typically do it right around that Black Monday when the coaches all go. But if it's an in-season firing, it doesn't make any sense to fire a general manager in any organization, because that's not going to make a difference in the locker room with the players. The way you get the attention of the players, for the most part, you do three things. And the Jaguars did two of those three a year ago. You fire your quarterback. See Blake Bortles. You fire your offensive coordinator. See Nate Hackett. You fire your head coach. That is how you catch the attention of the team. So, could there be a scenario where Marone is gone if they struggle? Yes. Could there be a scenario where Marone is fired and Tom Coughlin comes from upstairs to downstairs to coach the football team? Yes. And oh, by the way, every single host on this radio station talked about this a year ago, up until that imbecile Jason Lockenfora said that he had sources who were telling us that Coughlin was considering doing this, which was a freaking bald face lie. Okay?
You are fake news.
That was a lie. Because Tom Coughlin doesn't have any sources that he is told that he's thinking about firing Doug Marone and taking the team over himself. That's a freaking lie. Now, that doesn't mean that that won't happen. It doesn't mean that that hasn't been something that he has thought of before or that he may consider again. But he's not going to leak it. Who the hell is he going to leak it to? Seriously, this is Tom Coughlin. I mean, who's he going to leak it to? But is there a chance that that could happen? Now, that would catch the attention of the football team. Let's say they come out of the gate. I think they're going to be underdogs in five of their first six games. You know, if they came out, they were 1-5. Could they make a change? Probably, if so, they do it around the London week. That could be a pick'em against Houston. Depending on what happens there, you have the bye after. That's typically when you make that type of change. If it was to happen. And obviously, I'm looking worst-case scenario based on this text I got. Oh, by the way, you can text me 641-1010. You can hit me on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. But I don't think Dave Caldwell goes either, because who's going to run the team if Coughlin is going to coach? You still need a guy to run the team. I think Tom has learned from his mistakes. He had a little bit too much power after Michael Hughe and, you know, everything that happened here when he got caught with cap issues. And it cost him his job, really, in a time where Jacksonville just needed a change. We saw the success he had in New York. They fired him prematurely. Look at what the Giants have done since he left. And they're a disaster right now. They're a laughing stock with David Gettleman, who's got a little bit of Jason Lockenfora in him because reportedly he lies. saying that two general managers were willing to move up to get ahead of him to draft Dan Jones. One of those GMs responded in D.C. Again, I mean, lying is awful enough, but when you're doing it in these type of positions like Locke and Fora and Gettleman, it's really, really bad. So I don't see all three going, but I do appreciate your call. I'm getting more no one cares about hockey. Can you run the Bobby Orr goal for me, for crying out loud? Chark, this is from the 2846. Chark will have a breakout year, 75 receptions, 850 yards, 8 TDs. Second on the team to Westbrook, who will set the team record in at least two of those categories. I'm stoked for this year. Foles is a true leader. That is from the 2846. I don't care if you're a man or you're a woman. I want to kiss you right now. Right on the lips. I love getting texts like this. How does that sound, LeVay? 75, 850, and 8 for DJ Chark.
I'll sign up for that right now.
D.D. Westbrook, oh, by the way, was not there yesterday. Doug Marrone said that they were in communication. He is supposed to be there for the second workout tomorrow. This is one of the greatest texts I've ever read. That is from the 2846. 3468 says, Ballou, Foles should be a great influence on his receivers. Then I'll agree with you. Oh, I forgot this one. There's a guy a little bit early, he took a shot at me. If you take a shot at me, chances are I'm going to read it just because I'm that type of guy. What did it say here? When I was giving you how the Jags had lost six games by 6 points or less, including four by a field goal, the 98-74 said the Giants lost eight games by a possession or less. Does that mean they're flipping the script to the playoffs this year? I responded to him by saying, no. They suck. 2 minutes before the break, Roger Goodell says that direct and open conversations have taken place between the National Football League and the National Football League Players Association. We are all blessed by the fact that we have not heard the term work stoppage in almost a decade. That is something that even the great NFL cannot afford to have take place. Dare I mention hockey once again? Hockey never has really been able to recover in a lot of markets since their strike and their work stoppage and the fact that Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League, couldn't keep them on ESPN. ESPN was phenomenal for that sport, because they gave it a ton of pub. You know, Barry Melrose and company was great, but you know, when you had Gary Thorne and Darren Pang and those folks on the mothership, they were good. And they brought it into your homes. The current CBA expires after the 2020 season. So you're going to play this year and you're going to play next year the way that the current system is. But the lawyers are going to begin to talk here. And the players are talking, and they're talking loudly. And the one thing that they absolutely do want is more guaranteed cash. Major League Baseball contracts, guaranteed. The NBA contracts, guaranteed. NFL contracts are not guaranteed. We talk about the $88 million that Nick Foles has. What is that money really if something was to happen to him? I think it's like $55 million. You compare the numbers. You look at Xavier Howard, the DB, who signed the huge deal, what was it, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago in Miami. You look at that contract, which is 5 years, $76.5 million, and you begin to form some numbers towards Jalen Ramsey and what he's going to be able to make. But the one number that you need to know more than any is $46 million. That's the guaranteed money. So the $76.5 million, you can do whatever you want with that. For the athlete concerned, for the football player concerned, it's $46 million. That's the guaranteed money. I think the NFL is going to, let me see here, the guaranteed money, we got $25 million. Yeah, all right, Nick Foles. Nick Foles signed a four-year deal for around $88 million. 50.125 of that is guaranteed. You know, if he was to play one game, get hurt, never play again, he's got $50.1 million in his pocket. Not $88 million. But it's $50.1 million. The NFL wants guaranteed contracts. I don't blame them. The life expectancy is less than 3 years. That is the average for an NFL player. And their union traditionally was so weak going back decades ago compared to baseball. Baseball's always had a very strong players' union. Football has gotten leaps and bounds better. But they started off so soft, if you will. They're fighting now. And they want more guaranteed money. And they also want less work. They want less OTAs. They want less off-season workouts. They want to be able to exercise the right to really enjoy voluntary for what it is. And another announcement that was made today, no more Oklahoma drills, no more bull in the ring, right? These players don't want to hit. Who wants to hit? They're pros. They don't want to hit. Only a few of them do. And those are typically guys who have a few screws. I mean, who really wants to hit? Seriously. Who wants to go out in 100-degree temperature and hit? So they're going to do their best to have that eliminated. And they have plenty of work on that as far as the unnecessary helmet contact. You know, the final factor in all of this is marijuana use for pain. Okay? I've spoken with ex-football players. I've read a lot about this as well. I don't deal with pain. I don't deal with marijuana. I know of ex-athletes who are so beaten up and injured, and they swear to the fact that medical marijuana works. Roger Goodell talked about that today, and his quote was, the marijuana people, legally speaking, are going to really speak on this. Don't be surprised, folks, that the new CBA, if medical marijuana is legal in the National Football League. All right, we got much more to get into. Our second hour is coming up. Of course, we got news and notes. The transfer portal is up and running again, and it's running rampant in both Hogtown and God's country. We'll begin our second hour with that as we go into the night on 92.5 FM with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's get into some college football. Let's do that right up here at 8 o'clock. I feel like I haven't done enough on the wonderful sport as of late. Simply because I talk way too much hockey here. Thank you! more Jags in a little bit. And, of course, tomorrow we'll be heavy with the Jags. We'll get back to the OTAs. Really excited to hear John DeFilippo talk at 10:15 in the morning, then Nick Foles at 12:45. So more of the Jags coming up. Just to kind of get you updated on what's going on with both the Seminoles and the Gators. They extended that four-year rivalry. Mentioned this yesterday. If you did not hear now, they'll continue it through the year 2022. And nothing's going to change. It'll be that last weekend in November. So the rivalry has been extended. That'll go through the year 2022. Former Seminole quarterback DeAndre Francois will now play for Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic. All right, that came out a couple of days ago. We mentioned it on Monday and Tuesday. Well, this in now today. Jalen Jones, who was accused of sexual assault and decided to step away from the University of Florida, has now announced that he will play his college football at Jackson State. So that came down today. More transfers. The Gators are losing a couple of linebackers. Kylan Johnson, who had 9 starts last year, has the as a graduate, the opportunity to transfer and play immediately. He'll do that now for Pitt. So he's going to play in the Atlantic Coast Conference. 9 starts last year for the Gators. Rashard Jackson is transferring. 3 starts a year ago, but he was buried this spring on the depth chart. They have not announced where he is going. But the Gators down a couple of linebackers in Kylan Johnson and Rashard Jackson. Tell me if you've heard this before. Florida State's Landon Dickerson has put his name in the transfer portal. He did it in February, then like a week later, he took himself back out. That's it. I've completely wiped my hands clean with this young man. All right? I mean, he's done 3 things since he's been in God's country. Eat, go to the bathroom, and get hurt. And since he was a freshman coming out of North Carolina and started as a true freshman, he is so beyond brittle. And I'm tired of this nonsense. I really am. I mean, it can't get much worse than the way it already has been for Florida State. If you have guys on your roster that keep talking about, oh, I'm unhappy, oh, I want to go, Greg Fry was in a meanie, I didn't like playing for him, well, they made yet their 3rd offensive line change and coach in 3 years. If he doesn't want to play for you, it's still freaking Florida State. Get your ass out of God's country. I don't care if he's their best offensive lineman. I don't want guys with half a heart. I don't want guys polluting my locker room, polluting my organization. Landon Dickerson, you are a colossal failure. All right? You were given so many tremendous opportunities right out of the gate. And you did actually 4 things. You ate, you went to the bathroom, you got hurt, and when you were healthy, you jumped off sides. Those are the 4 things you did. Leave. I'm looking at some projections here for bowls. This is the Sporting News, who I worked for 7 years. And unfortunately, they're basically kind of shriveled down to about nothing these days. And it's really sad. I mean, LeVay, you're so damn young. You don't even remember the days of when the Sporting News used to arrive in the mailbox and it was like an extended newspaper and it had all the box scores in the back of the magazine and it had the little thumbnails and team notes and all that great stuff. I'm talking about in the 60s. 70s and into the 80s.
Can't say I ever had any of those arrive in my mailbox, but I am a huge fan of the work that they do and the website stuff they post.
When I was there in 2000 to 2006, they became a magazine, a weekly magazine like Sports Illustrated. And they were always good with their football previews or really any sport preview. But sadly, I almost never go to them. And I think it's really kind of corrupt about the whole deal is the reason why the company went down and why Paul Allen basically said, the now late Paul Allen, he said, owns a couple of franchises, owned the Seattle Seahawks. The reason why he sold the company is because they're being sued for millions and millions and millions because all of us hosts did live gambling and bookmaking with bookmakers on. We paid a pretty penny for it. I mean, the Sporting News has paid a ton. Our hosts were paid pretty good side change, and it was against the law then. A lot of things have changed since 2006, haven't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, now you have 8 states that allows live in-game betting, and it's all over the place. The NFL is making money hand over fist on professional gambling, on the NFL. Anyway, they have projections here. They have Florida playing Syracuse in the Capital One Orange Bowl. And that is tremendous for Florida. Syracuse going to be that good? I mean, seriously. I know Tommy DeVito's a quarterback they really like, but wow. I mean, second in the ACC behind only Clemson? They got Georgia playing Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. And then you got another team from the state of Florida playing in the Cotton Bowl against Notre Dame. That's the University of Central Florida. Where are my Noles? Where are the Canes? Do a survey quick, LeVay. Are there more Cane fans listening or more hockey fans listening? Can you do that for me, please?
Yeah, I'll put it out there real quick.
My goodness. Ole Miss and Florida State playing in the Belk Bowl? For $1,000, I don't know where the Belk Bowl is. Do you? Honest with me. Do not lie.
I couldn't tell you at all.
No. Are you freaking kidding me? The Belk Bowl? My proud alma mater? All the number ones against number twos? All of the game of the centuries? All of the All-Americans? All of the NFL players? The Belk Bowl? Am I like the only person in the world who is not going to give you the 100-day countdown where, honestly, I don't even want college football to start this year? I mean, look at all these teams that they have ranked higher in bowls. Iowa, Washington, Utah, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Pittsburgh. Michigan State, Va Tech in better bowls. USC, Baylor in better bowls. Just awful. Just really, really, really awful. You know, I pulled up the Atlantic Coast Conference rankings as far as quarterbacks, and obviously Trevor Lawrence is the best. I'm not a huge ranking guy when it comes to ranking players by position. I honestly, as a host, I think it's lazy. Just a little free advice if you ever want to get into this field. I think it's lazy. I don't really have anything to talk about. Let's create a list. But I had to bring this up because I read Athlons all the time. Athlon is, I said, unfortunately, that I don't go to the sporting news much anymore, even though I worked for him for 7 years and I grew up loving him. I just don't find my way there. My good friend Matty Hayes, who now is on noon to three, worked there forever. When I worked there, he was there before me, but he's with Bleacher Report. Now, I go to Bleacher Report all the time. I still go to Athlon Sports for college football. They're very good. Well, they do a lot of lists, and I'm borrowing one right now. Trevor Lawrence, the number one quarterback in the ACC. I got you there. No argument. He may be the number one player in America. Bryce Perkins, number two. Hey, he had a breakout year for Bronco Mendenhall. But is he really the second best quarterback right now in the Atlantic Coast Conference? The aforementioned Danny DeVito. Did I almost say Danny DeVito? Tommy DeVito's about twice the size of Danny DeVito. Eric Dungy gone. Tough kid. Remember Dungy played 100 plays against Miami? Battered. It's probably the only game folks around here will watch. See, I know this audience. Tommy DeVito, I like. He's ranked third. Ryan Willis, totally disagree with this. Okay? Pressed in the action after Josh Jackson lost that role. And then you get to James Blackman. James Blackman, the fifth best quarterback in the ACC. The reason why I found this is to back up this Belk Bowl prognostication. If James Blackman plays under Kendall Briles this year as the fifth best quarterback in the Atlantic Coast Conference, Florida State is going to a Belk Bowl. It's as simple as that. They're going to be huddled around a 7-5 mark. Seriously. I mean, they're going to be 6-4, 6-5, something like that. And you're going to be getting ready for that Florida game at the end of the year. If they get that type of production out of Blackman, they're looking at around a 7-5. I honestly think they can be 9-3. They have more talent than any team that they face this year outside of Clemson. They have as much, if not more, talent than Florida. They have more talent than Miami. They certainly have more talent than Syracuse or North Carolina State or their first Atlantic Coast Conference game of the year when they go into the, the dominance of Charlottesville, Virginia, where 45,000 strong will be leading out the Cavaliers. They announced a night game there. I thought that might have been a high nooner with Beth Mowins and Tommy Bowden calling that game. But no, it's going to be 7 o'clock at night. So that means it's going to be a liquored up crowd. They may squeeze a few more in there. You may have about 42,000 in Charlottesville. I mean, listen, you talk about tough places to play. Charlottesville, Winston-Salem. I almost said College Park, remembering the fact that now Maryland is in the Big Ten. Durham, 32,000 in a glorified high school stadium, an alumni stadium in Chestnut Hill. That day you'll get Red Sox news, Patriots news, Bruins news, Celtics news, Red Sox offseason moves, Patriots in season, what's going on news, the AFC, the NFC, oh yeah, and BC playing host too. Florida State on page 9 of the Boston Globe. Come on, fifth best in conference? Are you freaking kidding me? Jamie Newman, and then if you're Miami, it's even worse. They have Miami in here at number 9 with Nikosi Perry, who I don't think will win the job. I think the job goes to Tate Martell. Boy, I mean, there you have it again. You know, I'm not going to go through the list right now because I'm up against the break, but if you're a Gator fan, you have to be happy about the SEC's list, where Tua is one, Jake Fromm is two, Kellen Mond, who's going to throw the ball 80 times a game under Jimbo, is third, Felipe Franks is fourth, in a much better conference, too, than the ACC. Interesting stuff. I don't love lists, but in this case, Athlon does a nice job for us. All right. We got a lot more to get into, including news and notes. They're coming up. We do them each and every night. They are brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. We'll dive into that as we roll into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew. On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick, Key GMC, right there across the street from Tinseltown. May is Military Appreciation Month. I want to remind you as well, you buy a brand new Buick or GMC from Key, you get a lifetime powertrain warranty. How cool is that? Phenomenal deals, too. I mean, just sensational deals. In the month of May, right now you could save up to $15,500. That's over 28% on the 2018 GMC Sierra 1500 trucks. I was talking about some Buicks a little bit earlier. The 2019 Buick Envision, $339 a month, zero down, zero due at signing. The for $289 a month, the Buick Encore, that's the 2019 Buick Encore. Zero down, zero due at signing. Only $289 a month. Wow. Just great deals. Visit them. Awesome staff, too. Really, really good people over there. Say hello to them all. Jeff, Steve. My guy Jeff Moore, who handles everything in the garage. I mean, they just do a great job. Really do. Visit them across the street from Tinseltown. That is Gate and Southside Boulevard. I just saw this. You know, I'm a huge reader. I really am. Yeah, I love it. And it's a it's a hobby that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. No matter where I am or what I'm doing, I'm always going to take a book with me. And I don't want this. I don't want a Kindle. Screw the Kindle. Now, I remember when I was growing up in the construction field and we were working and they were building homes, and guy said to me, I don't want to be a 9-to-5. I want to get out and do something. It's really rewarding when you build something from the bottom up. You build the home. You look at it when you're done, you say, boy, I did that. It's very cool. I feel the same way about a book. Something that I love, LaVey, about cracking that book, reading that book, picking out the select bookmarker that I want to use, finishing that book, and then putting it in my library. Right now, I bet I got 750 hardcover books, and I've read each and every one. Now, one of the perks here at 1010XL and 92.5 FM is I get an opportunity to get a lot of books sent to me, and I take advantage of that. Typically, they want to do an interview. All right? A lot of them I'm just not interested in, and I just hit delete, and they go into the trash. There are others that I like and I read and I enjoy. But here's one I don't understand. Here's a guy who's pushing a book who's going to tell me about how Abraham Lincoln died and how he lived. This is what I'm trying to figure out. I know from history that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865. So let's see, 1965 would be 100 years. That's 35 plus 19. That's 154 years ago that Abe was assassinated. How are we getting new material?
Not to mention there's already been like at least 100 other books written about that.
Yeah, but I'm, yes, right. But how are we getting new material on Abraham Lincoln?
There's no way.
He's been dead for 154 years.
He's got sources, Rick.
So I'm reading here, he's saying that he's using 50 years of detailed research, going back to the young age of 12 when he started researching this book. This guy, Sam Rollins, has put in more than 50 years of research on Abe Lincoln. I think I need to throw this out to the listeners. Should I do a segment on this guy? On Abe Lincoln, or a segment on hockey? What should I do? Where am I going to grab more traction? Let me know, LaVey.
Based on the reaction we've already got, I'm pretty sure they lean towards the Abe Lincoln book.
Absolutely, I'm going with Abe. Honest Abe, this interview's coming up. Because, I'm not going to be a smartass. I'm going to be respectful to this man. But how the hell is he getting new information on a guy who's been dead for 154 years? You know, there's more than 1,000 books written on Jack the Ripper, and he only committed 4 homicides. But you didn't know that.
I don't think I've read a single one, but man, definitely didn't know that.
There's more books written on Jack the Ripper than there are on Honest Abe.
That I'm a little shocked about.
Yeah, it's the type of stuff you get here. That's probably why I am on nights. I wouldn't have it any other way. Love it. That interview's coming. Maybe I'll start doing a podcast again. Start doing it on all sorts of different things, like uncovering Honest Abe. We go back 154 years with our next guest. It's just unbelievable to me. All right, let's get straight to it. Truth Teller News and Notes each and every afternoon brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Just to kind of brief you through what to expect again tomorrow. No Cam Robinson yesterday for the Jags. Obviously, he's not expected to work out during their second phase of OTAs tomorrow. Marquise Lee, we saw running. He was not working out individually or in any team-related drills. Jake Ryan was not working out. He's battling back from his ACL. For those of you who don't even know who Jake Ryan is, because it wasn't a huge signing, he tore his knee back in August of 2018. He's an inside linebacker who's played inside and outside under Dom Capers before Dom was fired in Green Bay after the playoffs in 2017. He hopes to be back by mandatory minicamp. Therefore, we won't see him this week, next week, or the first week of June. Lyndon Johnson was in a boot. He's a defensive lineman. That's about all we know. Telvin's not there. Jalen is not there. D.D. Westbrook had Monday off. Doug Marrone told us yesterday. D.D. Westbrook is expected to be back to practice for the Jaguars tomorrow morning. Also, 10:15 tomorrow morning, John DeFilippo will meet with the Jaguars media after practice tomorrow at 12:45. We will get an opportunity to discuss things with quarterback Nick Foles. Friday, same deal. Doug Marrone in the morning. The afternoon, Terry Rubisky and Leonard Fournette. They'll take a three-day break over the weekend, including Memorial Day, and then we'll have the same rotation next week as far as OTAs, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. That'll get into next week as well. So definitely looking forward to that. You know, the Yannick Ngakoue situation I thought was just enormous for the Jaguars, and I spoke about this a great deal yesterday, but it deserves another mention today. That what he could do right now is really damaging to the football team, and I really think the psyche of this city. I really believe that. Last year was just awful. And even though there was about a decade where things were so dark around here on Monday morning, you know, after the great 2017, it almost made 2018 feel worse. I really felt for you people getting up on Monday morning, going to work, going to a job you don't like, then you have to turn around and go home to a wife who's driving you crazy and stuff like that. I mean, just, I feel, you know, and when the Jags lose, it just makes everything so much worse. Let's face it. Yannick Ngakoue is a guy you love. Yannick Ngakoue is part of the future. He's something that brightens up your day, and they haven't paid him yet. I don't know if they have the financial means to pay him yet. He could have held out. A lot of guys in his position right now absolutely would hold out. He said all the right things yesterday, including, of course, I'm going to play. I'm going to show up for OTAs. The faith is in his agent, and the faith is in his team. I was already a huge fan. Boy, has he escalated up in my book now by the way that he has handled this. Because there is a push out there, or at least a defiance out there, that is stating, what are you doing? Man, you're playing for $2 million. You could be making $18 million. You hurt yourself. You're crazy. Look what happened to Nick Bosa yesterday. He injured his right hamstring. Look at the injuries. Look what happened to Reuben Foster earlier in the week. You know, I mean, I hate mentioning the Fowler injury, but Yannick knows what he's up against. Yet he's going out there and he's playing. And he's practicing. And I think that's a great testament to him as a football player to go out and handle things that way. Because it would be a lot easier for him to say no to that, if you understand what I'm trying to get at. Justin Verlander last night flirted with his third no-hitter. 6 1/3 before allowing a home run. He gave it up to Jose Abreu. Boy, what a great pitcher he is. And Houston right now is scary. I mean, break them up. They are in line right now to win well over 100 games and really become the team to beat again in Major League Baseball. I honestly thought a year ago, even though Boston was outstanding, that Houston was primed to get in and win it. The text line here at 0369 is reminding me that, hey, Rick, Andrew Jackson is a good read, too. Yes. I'll read about him. All right, Juwan Howard. One other baseball note, first things first. The Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton has been sent down now for another 7 to 10 days. They're shutting him down. they were rehabilitating him. He had taken a couple of at-bats. He felt a mild strain on his left calf. LeVay, if you are a baseball player and you feel a mild strain to your left calf, you're out for a minimum of 3 months, okay? That's just the way baseball is. He was hit by a pitch, for crying out loud, during live batting practice. And then what happened is that he felt the twinge. After the twinge, there was a mild strain. So the Yankees are just taking all precautions here. Stanton is shut down automatically for 10 days. And then at that point, they're going to reevaluate him. Now, across the American League East, J.D. Martinez is being held out. Why? He felt a little something flare up in his back. LeVay, if you're in Major League Baseball, and the word flare in back is mentioned in the same sentence, you're out for a minimum of 3 months. That is the baseball lingo. So we'll keep you updated on J.D. Martinez as well. All right, finally, Juwan Howard is going to be announced as the new head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. I'm actually excited about this. I always liked Juwan Howard. I always thought like he didn't get enough love. You know, Weber got it, and he had the two guards, and, you know, Jalen Rose now on ESPN and everything else. But Juwan Howard had a very long career and has been an assistant coach for the Miami Heat. I do love when guys go back. And I know it hasn't worked for some guys as of late, including Chris Mullin at St. John's. But it'll be interesting to see what does transpire here. That'll be great for the Michigan Wolverines to get Juwan Howard in as their head coach. That announcement has been made official. All right, there you go. News and notes. TruckCrashLaw.com. There you have it. That is the very latest. All right, when we come back, final nuggets on this Wednesday night. You know, there's a couple other things that I want to mention as far as the NFL. I mentioned Roger Goodell a little bit earlier today and a couple of situations within the latest as far as CBA discussions. A few other things I want to bring up as well, including overtime, which we did not take a look at, and the draft. And it makes you wonder, as they're beginning to fill up, just like the Super Bowl. I asked Shad Khan 2 years ago. He said, no, Jacksonville does not want another Super Bowl. They're not ready. They don't have the hotels for it. And he told me at that time that they are interested in other things. And obviously the first thing you thought of was the NFL draft, and we saw what happened just a month ago in Nashville, where three networks picked it up. They had more than 600,000 people live on location. Well, these spots are filling up quick now. What is going on here? Where does Jacksonville play in all this? We'll come back and we'll touch on that with Rick Ballew right here on 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Denny Thompson, James Coleman, ladies and gentlemen. They come up tonight beginning at 9 o'clock. So that is less than 20 minutes away. Here's another book I just got. Sports Champions, Modern Day Gladiators. Author Stefan Ariano says it's a carryover from thousands of years of history where men protected their tribes, women, and homes. You know, that's something that, you know, you can get into a little bit back then, a little bit now. But the Abe Lincoln one, the guy deserves an interview. He put in 50 years of research, man. I mean, seriously. I could see regardless of what you think, I'm into what's going on. I know the language. I know what's going on. I know what lit means. I know what putting in work means. I put in work for the show. This guy put in 50 years of work for this book.
I can't even imagine putting that amount of time into anything. just no way for me.
What if I should bring him on and call him out? Like, when you say you put 50 years of work in, can you give me a detailed, a detailed look at hours that you put in per day, per week, per month? You think that's a proper question? Because in a lot of these interviews, they already send you questions that they want you to ask the author.
Now, forget that. We'll go off script. You got to get them with the tough questions now.
I always go off script. If I didn't go off script, do you think Jason Lockenfora would have come on? All right. Enough of that. Hey, you know what I wanted to mention today? This came from Carson Wentz. He was asked about this yesterday in the locker room after the first OTA for the Philadelphia Eagles. And Wentz went on to say how much he missed Nick Foles. And I quote, "I just miss his personality. He's so laid back. He's so relaxed. And I'm kind of wired differently. I'm a type A, a go, go, go. It was good balance for me to see him and see his attitude." You know, and I was thinking about that quote because I saw it last night when I got home. And if you listen to the show last night, I openly admitted that I wasn't a huge fan of the Foles signing. It's so easy now to kind of sneak away and be, I always said, you know how those people are? Oh, yesterday we kind of went through a long rendition of high first guys, how they're really, they just kind of arrogant, pompous, and think so highly of themselves. And you walk down the hall, they're only going to say hi to you if you say hi to them. Those are high first guys. Another guy who drives me crazy is never wrong guy. Okay? We all are associated with never wrong guy. Now, what never wrong guy does is, regardless of the story or the set of circumstances, he's going to remind you that he was on board with that way back when. So I could play the role here of never wrong guy and say, I wanted the Jags to sign Nick Foles. I'm not calling out any of my colleagues here. I'm not doing it. I think there may be one or two who kind of do something along those lines. Right. I wanted Dwayne Haskins. I wanted a rookie quarterback. They didn't ask for my opinion. They signed Nick Foles. Originally, I wondered, Super Bowl MVP, $88 million. Does he still have the drive? I openly talked about that. Well, I met him when he was introduced a month or so ago. I observed him yesterday. I watched him after practice put in more work and get with his wide receivers. And now I get a quote like this from a guy who probably was headed towards an MVP a couple of years ago before he got hurt and Foles took over for him and won the Super Bowl. It really speaks volumes of what people think about Nick Foles. The leadership element of Blake Bortles left the Jaguars. He had it in 2017. Malik Jackson, others started talking about him without even being asked. He earned it. But you can earn and you can lose so quickly in the National Football League. I mean, it can happen in-game. And with Nick Foles getting more and more and more stuff like this, is incredibly refreshing. So I just wanted to mention that. It was a great quote. Maybe that's exactly what this football team needs. Yes, they need leadership, but they also need a guy with his personality that's going to make this football team feel somewhat relaxed in big moments. And what happens when you panic? What happens when you really force things? You typically struggle. Right? The greatest athletes of all have that pressure on themselves, but they also have to be loose and they have to be mentally put together in order to go out there and produce in the biggest moment. This Jaguar wide receiving core is incredibly young. And what, DD caught 66 balls a year ago. The DJ Chark caught 14. I think Cole caught 33. That's just over 100 balls. Okay? That's nothing. What do you have returning at the tight end position? Add them up with O'Shaughnessy and Koyak. What do you have between them, 30? I know what the first question I'm asking John DeFilippo tomorrow. That's about his backfield. Look at the career receptions in that backfield out of that running back core that you have. Who is the third down back? Who can catch the ball out of the backfield? Maybe having a quarterback that has leadership skills, that has won big games, but has the ability, personality-wise, to be low-key and settle things down is exactly what this football team needs. So, I'm not going to be the never wrong guy, because I was wrong. I wanted Dwayne Haskins. But I'm on board, and there's nothing I'd like to see more than for Nick Foles to light it up and for Nick Foles to win some football games with this football team. Real quick on the draft before James Coleman and Denny Thompson join me. 2020 is in Vegas. 2021 is in Cleveland. 2023 is in Kansas City. 2022 is open. I just don't think the Jaguars are ready for it in 2022. I don't even know if they've bid. Downtown, I don't believe, is put together the way that they want it. And this being what, the 22nd of May, 2019, I have no idea what it's going to look like downtown by 2022. But these are starting to fill up the way that future Super Bowl sites are filling up. And again, I gave you my conversation that I had with Shad Khan a couple of years ago. He's not interested in the Super Bowl here. At least he wasn't when I spoke with him 2 years ago. But he told me straight up he's interested in other events, the assumption being the NFL draft. And right now, cities are snatching them up. Three of the next four, done. Again, Vegas, Cleveland, and Kansas City. 2022 open. We'll see what market makes a run for that particular situation coming up in the year 2022.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings have you covered from head to toe and especially stomach. Order your office event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
Have you read this McIlwain Barnes story?
No.
Neither have I. I've seen the headline. I tried to read it, but I got like a sentence in and I was saying, wait a minute, they're quoting him now. And if he's talking, there's a chance he could be lying.
Yeah, it's just this McIlwain is weird bird. Weird bird, man. Yeah, I got my buddy just told me about Cleveland, man. We and Denny talked about going to Vegas.
Yeah.
But I definitely know, ready or not, I'll be in Cleveland because I'll have some access that a lot of people won't have. My buddy does is one of the directors of security for the city. So
for the draft?
Yeah, he sent me that, and he sent me the All-Star game will be in the NBA All-Star game will be in 2022. He was talking about the MLB All-Star game is it this year? Was it 2020? It might be 20.
You know what? I honestly don't even know what the Midsummer Classic is.
Either way, I was just like, man, shoot, I'll come up there. If it's this year, I'll come up. But he was like, nah, I'm not going to. No. He's not going to waste it. But the draft, just from what it looked like, how much fun it looked like it was in Nashville, that downtown Cleveland area, I mean, it's.
The flats?
It was. I had an amazing time when I went there a couple years ago. Caught a Jags game, Jay-Z concert, and a Cavs game.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fun, man.
I've been to a baseball game at Cleveland at Jacobs Field, and obviously I've been to a football game, but I've never been to an NFL draft. That's one of the few events I haven't been to yet. I'd love to go one of these years.
Yeah, I mean, especially Vegas. Like, it's not even about the event. It's just where it's at. If it's in Vegas, you can have fun in Vegas.
Oh, my God, you can have fun in Vegas.
Cleveland, if you know the right people, you can have a really good time.
You can have fun everywhere.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
I have fun in Bayard.
I would love for it to be here, but you're right, though. But then I just think about the town center area, and I think of some of these places and how much different it looked 3 years ago or when I first moved here and how it changed.
Yeah.
But there just doesn't seem to be any traction downtown. That's disappointing, though.
Yeah, and I want it so bad. I hope they start, you know, with the construction and get some things working, Lot J in. And, you know, I was down there a few weeks ago for Rockville. I had the time of my life. I was down there, for the Bob Seger concert the other day. I loved it. You know, I'll be down there again tomorrow for practice. I only go downtown for events.
Right.
You know, that's it. What's coming up?
We'll talk about a little bit about that. We'll talk about, you know, transfer portal. Lost a linebacker, so they lost a little bit of depth. FSU, Landon Dickerson.
Yeah.
Called it officially quits. You know, interesting things going on in Jacksonville. Probably in our 8 o'clock, we'll talk about how Oregon's trying to compete with Florida man.
Mm-hmm.
Guy did something interesting with his daughter's cookie money.
And was that you tweeted that out earlier today?
Yeah, I mean, it was
$30 worth.
I mean, hey, listen, man, you know, it's Stranger Things. He I guess he wanted the Bob Kraft treatment.
Wow.
So, but yes, that's the going rate. But you know, just saw kinds of randomness going on in this off season. Not much sports going on, but. We'll definitely make a 2-hour show out of it.
All right, James, coming up right now, James Coleman and Denny Thompson. That'll do it. The producer of the program is Matt LeVay. Tonight's show brought to you by Key. That's Key Buick and Key GMC, where May remains Military Appreciation Month. And they have great deals here the remainder of the week, throughout the weekend as well. The Lifetime Powertrain Warranty also is still in effect. You buy a brand new Buick from Key, a brand new GMC from Key. It is the Lifetime Powertrain Warranty that is especially important. Again, they have phenomenal deals on GMC Sierra 1500 trucks. You can save $15,500 on the 2018 GMC Sierra truck. Great deals as well on all Buicks. So make sure you visit them at Key, right across the street from Tinseltown on Southside and Gate. That'll do it. Again, 10:15 tomorrow morning, John DeFilippo talks. 12:45 after practice, Nick Foles will speak as well. So tomorrow night, I'm back with you from 7 until 9. We'll have a ton on the Jaguars as their second OTA takes place tomorrow. That's all coming up Thursday night from 7 to 9 right here with Rick Ballew.